Welcome to Copper Country Today. We are heard Sunday mornings at 7 o'clock on 97.7 The Wolf, 8 o'clock on AM 1400 WCCY, 9 o'clock on KBAR 102.3. Our program is brought to you in part by the members of the Copper Country Education Association and by the Copper Country Veterinary Clinic, providing the highest quality in medical care to help their patients live longer and healthier lives. You can also listen or download a podcast of our program by going to the Copper Country Today page at KeweenawReport.com. Now, in the second half of the program this morning, Sam Ali will be talking with Dr. Alan Lewis. Dr. Lewis is an expert on autism, and he will be speaking in the Copper Country next week, so we'll be previewing his presentation. And in the first segment of the program, I welcome back Brad Nelson, who is the Public Affairs Officer at the Oscar G. Johnson VA Medical Center in Iron Mountain. Brad was on the program back in early March, and an awful lot has happened in the VA since we spoke at that point. And I thought that it would be a good idea to kind of bring folks up to date as to what's going on in Iron Mountain at the Johnson Medical Center in relation to the national problems that we have been hearing so much in the news about regarding the VA. So, Brad, welcome back to the program, and thank you for your time.
Well, thank you for having me, Todd.
This has really become a national mess, a national scandal, so to speak. That center down in Phoenix, where they say that people have died because of treatment delays, allegations of cover-ups there, long backlogs at some facilities. How are you handling all this?
Well, it has been very interesting, and to answer that question of yours, I would like to say we are very fortunate here. I really can't comment on other medical centers.
Sure.
I don't have all the facts, just what I see, in the news like everybody else. And yes, we are very concerned about access for our veterans, but we've had a number of veterans said we're very happy, and if with all that's going on, we do get feedback from our veterans saying we're happy with our care. Now, are we perfect? No, I always say that we're not perfect, and on a case by case basis, we try to do our best to get the care provided for the veterans. But we did, when it comes to the national VA audit, that's probably was with more recent, back in May and early June. There was VA conducted an audit throughout the nation at every medical center as well as every community-based outpatient clinic, including there in Hancock. The audit teams did visit here in Iron Mountain and all our community-based outpatient clinics, and they were impressed, actually, with our scheduling processes and our dedicated staff. And we're happy to report that 98% of all our veterans both are seen within 30 days of their request for an appointment in our clinics. However, I would say that we still continue to be vigilant. I should say Mr. Rice personally, as a director, wants to be vigilant, proactive, and he always has been. He's been here since 2011, and shortly after he got here, he has what we call a morning report every morning with senior staff, and one of the data slides that goes up has been our access data, so it's nothing new just because of what's been happening in Phoenix and around the country. He's been watching this, and I think that's one of the reasons that here in our medical center we do not have the same problems. And I can assure veterans we don't have a secret waiting list that is perceived out there at some of the others. So we've done very well, but however, we do want to remain vigilant in that regard, of course, because we are committed to wanting to provide the best care that we can for our veterans.
Is setting appointments within 30 days considered the standard, or should the standard be less than that?
Well, that is becoming what the VA had done is for new appointments to a clinic, and it could be an established patient that's going to a cardiology clinic, which we don't have cardiology here, but it's going to a specialty clinic here. The standard is 14 days. However, VA is moving that because that's kind of been an artificial standard. That's what they put out about 2 years ago, 2 to 3 years ago. And that seems to be what the crux has been as far as, you've heard the performance bonuses and whatnot. So the VA has removed or is removing the 14-day standard for bonuses and performance reports. So that'll take a little pressure off because that's not really done anywhere else outside of the VA. 30 days, I won't say it is a snap, but yes, that is one of our demarcation lines, as you want to say. I'll give you some examples here of what our most recent wait times here are. And actually now the VA, National VA, is putting out data once a month on all the medical centers. And for example, a new patient coming into our primary care clinic, the average wait time is 15 days here at Iron Mountain and at our community-based outpatient clinics like in Hancock. For a new patient going to a specialty care clinic, you know, a neurology clinic, it could be oncology, it could be podiatry, it's 26 days. And for new patients, for mental health, coming in for a mental health clinic is 9 days in that regard. So those are for, like, say, the new patients. That seems to be what the concern is. Now, as far as the established patient waiting time here, is, for say, an established patient, it's 3 days from what we call their desired date, the date that they want to be seen. And then established patient for specialty care is about 3 days, and then 1 day for a mental health appointment. So, again, our wait times are all, on average, below 30 days.
Do you see problems as you're referring veterans out to other areas? I know that there are certain things you don't do there in Iron Mountain. If you have to refer somebody out to another clinic, are you seeing longer wait times?
It's interesting. You know, right now there isn't a measure on, let's say, non-VA care when we send them out to the community. I can tell you that isn't measured. However, I believe VA on the national level is looking to want to start measuring that. There's two things. If we cannot see it, like the Iron Mountain here, because we're a small medical center, we don't have all the specialty care or higher level specialty care clinics as a large VA medical center. And I always tell people, you know, we are not an insurance system; we are a healthcare provider system. So, first, if we can get you in at a VA medical care, it's much more cost beneficial, and it's always better to keep the veteran within the VA system. It's more efficient, medical record-wise, care-wise. So we will send veterans to Milwaukee, is typically as being a level one or a large medical center that provides a whole lot more services. So we're keeping the veteran within the VA system. But if they don't have appointments available, or if it's more of an emergency need, or that on a case-by-case basis, you know, for the convenience of the veteran. Now, that doesn't happen often, but if, you know, we will send them to a non-VA care, like, for example, Marquette General or Portage, potentially up there in Hancock, but we will send them out. What we are looking at now is for, like, say, any veterans that are scheduled beyond 60 days, it appears that we are starting to look at sending them to non-VA care facilities, non-VA facilities for care in that regard. To say how long it takes, typically how that works is we give the veteran a letter of authorization saying you can go to get this service on the outside of the VA at the provider of your choice. If they aren't sure, we will give them a list of providers that we have that are non-VA providers that can do that, but then it's their responsibility to schedule it. So sometimes that's why it's hard to measure on that, but we do give veterans the opportunity case by case or like services. But like I say, we're looking at now 60 days or greater, because if we have any appointments that are that far out, that would be the case. Just kind of stepping back one, we have to also kind of figure in some of these you know, wait times that I mentioned too. During the winter time and springtime, some of these, when we look at wait times, if there's any outliers, meaning, you know, is there someone 60 days or 90 days? Now, Mr. Rice has the applicable service and clinic to drill down and find out why that is. And being in our area, as you can imagine up there, you know, we have snowbirds in the wintertime that have said, you know, I'm going to wait till I get back to Iron Mountain in order to have that appointment, but that may be 90, 100 days out or 60 days out, so we find some of that. But if it's anything else, we'll dig down and then find out if there's any other circumstances and then try to take care of it.
Brad Nelson is my guest. He's the public affairs officer at the Oscar G. Johnson VA Medical Center in Iron Mountain. We're talking about the effect that the national problems that have been in the news about the VA are having on local treatment for veterans here in the Copper Country and in the western part of the Upper Peninsula. You mentioned the outsourcing of care to non-VA sources. That's one of the things that I have heard about, Brad, in terms of some legislation that's being proposed to try to move things up and get rid of some of these backlogs that have been seen in other parts of the country. Is there going to be more access for veterans to care in non-VA facilities? What's your take on that?
Well, we really can't comment on pending legislation. We've had a number of veterans calling up saying, hey, you know, this is happening. We've heard things, well, do we get a card or whatnot? The people have to, if they could understand that, it's still being worked on. You know, the Senate has passed the legislation, the House has passed the legislation, now they're in the process of working on this veterans bill. However, I can't necessarily comment on it because it's not a final, it hasn't been finalized or signed by the president. Is there going to be increased access? Like I said, you know, we are looking at doing that anyways here for 60 days and out on a case-by-case basis. But really we have to see what the mandate will be from Washington before we really can comment on that.
Yeah, and I guess, I suppose, and I hate to put it this way, but is there a potential silver lining here? Because the VA system has been struggling for quite a while in terms of the number of veterans coming in, the funding that's been coming from Washington. Could we see from this ways for you to provide increased service and absorb more veterans?
We all hope that there is a silver lining in this. It can only be that when you think of trying to fix any of the problems that that are out there. Like I say, we are fortunate here in Iron Mountain, so anything that comes down can only make us better. But again, it's something that we can't comment on until the fixes actually come and see what form they come in that. But one of the things Mr. Rice, when he got here, and it's kind of become our motto, is, you know, we want to be focused on excellence and putting the veterans first, and that's kind of like our marching orders. And I can tell you that we will look at anything that does come out. We look anyways. And there's actually, and we're talking a little bit here maybe in a short time, about what we have already been doing to increase that access.
Yeah. Have you been hearing from veterans? Is there concern out there that, people hear these things in the national news and they tend sometimes to jump to the conclusion that it affects every outpost in the system. Is there concern among the veterans?
I would say we get two types of responses here, both, you know, the calls I've taken as well as calls from some of our clinics. And some are saying, you know, we have some veterans call, am I on a list or am I on a secret list? And like I mentioned, we don't have a secret list. But we also get calls saying that, you know, people actually come into the director's office saying, you know what, I just want to know. I know there's a lot of negative about the VA, and I just want to let you know that I've been very happy with the VA here in Iron Mountain. We were at a town hall in Escanaba. We do try to do a veteran town hall once a month. We actually had one up in Calumet back in January, where Mr. Rice and some senior leadership and some of our subject matter experts, we go around and invite veterans to come and to share their concerns and comments. And at the Escanaba, it was interesting that some of our younger vets actually came and said, you know what, we're here just in case if anybody complains, because we want to say what good care we are. And that's really heartening. Again, I always say we're not perfect. We do have those veterans that, on a case-by-case basis, that may have a little bit longer wait for their appointments. And again, we do work hard to try to get them in that regard. So we are getting some concern calls, you know, concern, and then we try to explain the situation. If it is something that is definitely legitimate, our staff are right on it and trying to work with it, though.
Brad Nelson, my guest, the public affairs officer at the Oscar G. Johnson VA Medical Center in Iron Mountain. Brad, I had a gentleman stop by the radio station recently when he heard that I was going to be doing this interview, and he said, would you ask them a question for me? And I said, well, yeah, I'll consider doing that. And he said, find out why they have me on so many meds. And I explained to him that I didn't think the gentleman I was going to be talking to would have an answer to that. But suppose I was a veteran and I had some questions about my treatment. How would I go about getting clarification?
Sure. you know, the first thing, it's like anything else. You try to resolve your concern at the lowest level possible. Our provider, especially our primary care providers, physicians, the nurses, they operate in a team. We actually have teams. It's what, you know, each clinic is a team. And that team is consists of a provider. That could be a nurse practitioner, a physician, an RN, an LPN, a licensed practical nurse, and a clerk, and a clinical pharmacist, typically. And that team expands and contracts as needed. When I say it doesn't contract any smaller than the group that I just mentioned, but it can expand. If you have diabetes, you'll have a diabetic educator that's part of that team. Or nutrition, if there's a weight management issue, our circle of care, you know, counseling, social workers. So you have a team, and the VA has transitioned the last few years to these teams. And the idea with these teams is that the veteran is at the center of this team, and the veteran is in charge of his or her health care, and that's what we want them to take responsibility. So, for example, your veteran there that has concerns about too many meds, you know, he or she should talk first with his or her primary care provider, you know, and express those concerns, because those providers should be listening to their veterans. Now, there may be a very good reason, because, again, the provider is going to be, the physician is going to be very interested in making sure that they get the proper care, the veterans are getting the proper care, but at least have that dialogue. If the veteran is still not satisfied, we have what we call our patient advocate system. It's a formal system here in the Iron Mountain VA Medical Center system. It includes at our community-based outpatient clinics. And again, we have in each service, so in our primary care department, we have one of the two staff that are also designated to receive calls for veterans that are concerned or have some complaint or whatnot. And it gets entered into a formal computer system, so it is tracked. Mr. Rice looks at the data on all the patient advocate complaints for the previous week and what categories they are. And so they have 7 days typically to resolve that. So if it's a medication concern and the provider, you know, still not happy with what the provider said, that veteran can then go with the patient advocate. And he or she can get that number from his clinic. In that, and then if there's no satisfaction there, then we have a lead patient advocate. And so we have actually a system that can go all the way up. And rarely does it have to get to Mr. Rice's level, but like at the third or fourth level, you know, he would be willing to talk with the veteran. But that's after going through a few other chains, the chain of command. But usually most everything is resolved at a lower level.
I know the medical system can be confusing for particularly older people, and I've been through that with some relatives of mine where I've gone to doctor's appointments with them. Is that something that can be done through the VA system? If my dad was a little concerned about what medications he'd been prescribed or I was a little concerned, could I sit in on an appointment?
Now, you're talking, just to clarify, you're talking if this is a non-VA doctor, or is this with a VA doctor?
With a VA doctor, yeah. Let's say my dad is a veteran, he's getting VA care, and I wanted to ask some questions. Is that permitted?
Yes. And actually, the key is who is on the next of kin list, who's on the emergency list, and that's, you know, when, let's say your father were to come, he can always update that list, or he can provide a release of information. But typically we do allow family in. Again, it's, you know, you want to make sure you're on the list that is authorized to hear privacy information, or if it's a verbal, that type of thing. But yes, we do have family that come in. In fact, a lot of wives come in with their husbands, their, you know, older, especially older veterans in that regard.
Because in many cases in the home environment, this has to be kind of a team issue to sort out those medications, make sure that they're taken at the appropriate time.
Exactly. And I'll give you an example. My dad, who wasn't a veteran, but in a civilian provider, my wife's a nurse, so she would go when he was had cancer and going through chemo, she would go with him on his appointments because she could understand, you know, and she knew the medical system, the lingo, and because, you know, our older veterans, our older population, they're very trusting of the doctors, and that's good, but it's always good to have someone there to also understand, especially if they're having a harder time understanding.
I'd like to change the topic just a little bit here. There were a few Facebook posts that I saw not too long ago about a change in the chapel status. at the VA center there in Iron Mountain, and actually I think this is something that has affected all of the VA centers. People were complaining that the Christian symbols were being covered up. Is that something that has been happening? What's the story behind that?
I would be very happy to clarify that. That actually, we've had more calls on that than the audit results and whatnot, like I said, because we did well in the audit results. We did have recently local, regional, and even national coverage, and as well as misunderstanding regarding the actions that we've taken here at our chapel. It has been longstanding policy going back actually decades. The earliest statement I could find was 1953, that VA chapels not reflect any one denomination or faith when not being used for chapel services. Now, the most recent national VA policy dates back actually to July 2008, which states, and I'll quote this, "Chapels are appointed and maintained as places for meditation and worship, and when VA chaplains are not providing or facilitating a religious service for a particular faith group, the chapel must be maintained as religiously neutral, reflecting no particular faith tradition," unquote. And what this means is that the Christian symbols and statues are not hidden, but in full view when the chapel is used for Catholic Mass or Protestant services or by groups or individuals that identify with the Christian faith. The federal government recognizes a wide diversity of different faith groups in existence, and we do have veterans who have served our country, and some even combat, who are of different faiths. In fact, the last 6 years, we have served veterans that have, when they choose to identify, when they're admitted for inpatient, for example, they have chosen to identify, they've identified with 16 different faiths outside of Christianity. The VA policy on spiritual and pastoral care is to uphold the free, this is quote, uphold the free exercise of religion by all medical and nursing home patients in the healthcare facility. Of course, this includes providing or facilitating appropriate worship opportunities. And in keeping with this, the VA chapels are available for all faiths, prayer, for meditation, reflection, and therefore they are maintained religiously neutral when not used, again, for Christian services or by Christian-based groups. And it, you know, allows for our patients and their families who do not identify with Christianity to use room for prayer, meditation, reflection. And I always tell people, and I've talked with people from North Carolina, Texas, Louisiana, Maine. I know it's made the Internet over in London. This has gotten really widespread, Iron Mountain VA Chapel. And the misunderstanding is that, not all the information was out there. Like I say, they're not covered permanently. And actually, the update to that is the simple solution we thought was to put up a curtain that can be open and closed as needed. And we found out, actually feedback from some of the folks that were all upset was that we did take down the curtain, and we have basically the religious symbols, the crucifix and the statues, when they're not being used for chapel, they are removed, but then they're brought in. They're very easily accessible for anybody that goes in there, and even if I want to go in there individually, they're easily accessible to bring out if I would like that. We also have actually a Blessed Sacrament room that's within the chapel that we're not touching. It has a door on there, and all the symbols and the stained glass and the 12 stations of the cross, they're all in there, and that's not being touched in that regard. The other thing that was kind of very controversial, again, was misinformation, is that the word, you know, in the letters to the editor and what got out there on the Facebook was that the chaplain could not read Scripture or could not talk about Jesus or pray in Jesus' name. And that actually was a totally misunderstanding. Don't know where that came from as far as we do not have any policy that prohibits a chaplain, especially in services or talking with a veteran subscribes to this Christian faith. Even in our public ceremonies, our chaplain, you know, uses Scripture, talks about our praise in Jesus' name, those type of things. So that's another thing that kind of got out there, and we're trying to correct the perception, is that that's not the case here.
All right. Thanks for clarifying that, Brad. Got about a minute left here. For those who are veterans who are not in the VA system but would like to enroll in the VA system and take advantage of their benefits, how do they go about doing that?
Okay. They can go on www.va.gov if they have a computer, and they can look for the enrollment, or they look under VA healthcare, the tabs. The other thing, they can call... they can call our medical center here, 1-800-215-8262, extension extension 32810. That's our eligibility office, and they can send them an enrollment form. So they can enroll online, or they can get an enrollment form. And what I tell people is that there is criteria, but we ask that that they apply anyways. You never know. If there's a Vietnam veteran out there, does not have to be service-connected, but if they had what we call boots on the ground in Vietnam, they run Vietnam, you know, on Vietnam soil, they would be presumptive for Agent Orange. Not that they would have anything with that, but it presumed because they were in Vietnam, they would be enrolled.
All right, very good. And I've got to wrap us up here, I'm afraid, Brad. But thank you so much for your time. Thank you for your clarification, and I look forward to talking with you again soon.
Sounds good, Todd. Thanks.
Brad Nelson, the Public Affairs Officer at the Oscar G. Johnson VA Medical Center in Iron Mountain. Copper Country today continues in just a moment. Sam Ali talks with Dr. Alan Lewis, so stay tuned.